Thanks for joining us this week for the Wellspring Church Podcast. This week, Pastor Trey Kelly leads us in the series, God on Tap.
So when I was in middle school, I punched a hole in the wall in my bedroom. You've never heard a sermon story like that, have you? I did. I got in a fight, I think it was with my mom, about something very stupid. And I went into my bedroom, slammed the door, and just out of sheer frustration, punched a hole in the wall. And I immediately regretted the decision. Not because I hit a stud, mind you. That would have been awful. I like to say a stud hit the wall. It's horrible. It's awful. But I did. I punched the wall, and instantly I was like, I hit it, and immediately I was like, I'm going to die. I was so afraid. And so what I did, because I was in middle school and I thought this was brilliant, I had a basketball poster on my wall. I just moved it. I just covered up the hole on the wall and thought, well, that means it's gone. And it wasn't. And every single day I would go to bed and I would see that poster on the wall. And I would think of the day I had to tell my mother and my father that I had punched a hole in our wall. And I pushed that day off as long as I possibly could until the summer between my junior and senior years of high school. Some of you know this. You know, I grew up in church. I grew up Baptist, and we had a youth group in our Baptist church, and we would take mission trips and youth trips, and my youth pastor was one of the youth pastors that liked to give everybody in a circle and make the music really low and make everybody cry. It was kind of the cry night, and you know what was going to happen. Many people were going to get saved. You're going to have a bunch of unspoken prayer requests, and that's just kind of church jokes. If you don't know what that is, because you didn't grow up going to a Baptist church, it's okay. But he would, and he was really good at it. And so we had this circle. We were in a place called Waterbury, Connecticut. We were on a mission trip there, and we were, of course, in our little circle of trust, and the lights were down, and he decided that the night was going to be a night of confession. And my parents were on the trip. And I thought, this is perfect. I can tell them in front of all these people, and there are a bunch of witnesses. And so I confessed, and, you know, they laughed about it. And you know, now that I'm an adult, I realize that a hole in the wall really doesn't cost that much to fix. And so, you know, I confessed it in front of everybody, and I think other people probably confessed way worse things than I did. But anyway, I did it in front of them. My parents didn't get too mad. And so it was kind of cool, but so I had to confess that when I was growing up. But I think I've shared this before, too, that I was actually a pretty good kid, I guess. Like, I didn't really get in much trouble. Except for one area, I struggled a great deal growing up. I couldn't drive. I was just terrible at it. My wife says I'm still a bad driver. But I was way worse when I was a kid. Like, I'm talking three wrecks in a year to 18 months. Yeah. You're all like, I thought he was joking about being a bad. No, I was terrible at it. I got a speeding ticket. I got a couple of warnings where I didn't get tickets. So I don't know how that happened. I drove into the garage at our house. I did that. And every time, it was like every single time I did it, I was alone. And so every single time, I always had to go and confess what had happened. And every time it would happen, I would cry. I thought that my life was over, and I'd go in, and I'd confess. And here's the cool thing, like my parents were always great about it, especially my dad. He was so great. I've said before, he's one of the most generous people I know. He's also one of the most forgiving people I know. He really is. Like he never got mad at me about it. Now, I had earthly consequences, right? Eventually, it got ridiculous. And it was like, yeah, you gotta have some consequences about this. But he was never angry. I always was like, okay, this is the one. This is the one. He's gonna kick me out of the house. Like, he's gonna hate me. Like, it's over, right? It never happened. Every time I'd cry, he'd hug me. I mean, he loved me. And like, it never affected how he felt about me, right? And I always was afraid it was going to. It never, ever did. Now, I tell you that story because I want to talk about guilt today, because if you are anything like me, which you probably are, guilt is something that most of us at one point or other in our life, maybe even right now, we wrestle with in a very serious way, right? And the way we're kind of taught you get over your guilt is you go and make amends. You go and say you're sorry, and then the person forgives you, and then your guilty feelings are supposed to go away. But what happens when you do those things, but you still have the feelings? Like, let's say you did something, like me. Like, say you lied to your parents, right? You lied to your parents growing up, and you confess it to your parents, and they forgive you, but you still feel bad about it. And you still kind of beat yourself up about it. Or let's say you did something where you made a silly decision, and you actually hurt someone. So even if they say you're forgiven, you still see the effects and you still feel it. Or maybe you did something that was just awful. And there's really not even anybody to apologize to. It's just kind of something you did. And you kind of replay it in your head over and over and over, and you would give anything in the world to be able to go back to that moment and not do what you did. But unfortunately, time machines don't exist. And so you can't change the past, but you just live with the sick, gnawing feelings of pain and shame and regret. Like, what do you do with that? How do you handle that guilt? There's really like three kind of common responses a lot of people have to guilt. The first one is, you know, if I wrong you and I feel guilty because something I've done to you, I'm gonna try harder to make it up to you, right? We're gonna work harder to make it okay. Now, the problem is this. What happens when the person that you hurt has already said, oh, no, it's okay. You're forgiven. But the feelings don't go away. What do you do? Or what if your guilt really isn't even towards a person, it's towards God. See, a lot of times when people get guilty towards God, they avoid God, right? Some of you felt that way today. Like, you were petrified coming into this place because you thought it was like some holy place and God was going to zap you when you walked in. It's a gym at a YMCA. But that's what happens, right? When we have these guilty feelings, we become afraid of God, and we can think, man, God's gonna get me, God's gonna zap me, God's gonna judge me, and so we try to avoid him. And then some people, they have so much guilt in their lives, they have so much pain, they have so much shame over things they've done, they never even give God a try. Like, they won't even consider God, because in their brains, there's no way he would ever be able to embrace them. He'd never be able to accept them. He'd never be able to forgive them. He'd never be able to love them. And so these feelings of guilt and shame just kind of gnaw at us. And if you've ever felt them, or if you're feeling them right now, you know that they deplete you. And they make you feel unworthy. They make you feel invaluable. They make you feel like you can't win, right? Like there's nothing you can do to make these feelings go away. Now, if you are here today and that is how you feel, I want you to listen to the next thing I'm going to say. And if you hear nothing else today, that's okay. You have to hear this, okay? That is not how God ever intended for you to feel. Feelings of guilt and shame are not emotions the God of the universe ever planned for your life. Ever. I know that's a bold statement, so I'm going to spend the rest of our time together trying to convince you that what I'm saying is correct. Because he never did. Now see, we're in a series called God on Tap. We've been talking about how we have unlimited access to the God of the universe. He is freely available in an unlimited supply. And last week we talked about that a little more specifically. We talked about how he makes peace on tap available. Sometimes we struggle with anxiety and fear. We talked about last week, no. God can give you unlimited peace in your life. And today I want to talk about forgiveness on tap. Because forgiveness is freely available in an unlimited supply for every single one of us in this room, but we don't feel like it is. And so what I want to do today is I want to talk to you about how, through a relationship with Jesus, each one of us in this room can tap in to that forgiveness, and we can truly live life, hear this, free from guilt and shame and regret. Now, even if you don't believe in God, you do believe in guilt and shame and regret because you have it. And I'm telling you, there's a solution. Don't you at least want to know what it is? Isn't it worth the 30 minutes to lean in and say, okay, I'm not sure I believe in God or not. I'm going to suspend disbelief on that. But if he's really got an answer to guilt, I'll listen. And here's the cool thing. I don't have an answer. Jesus does. At Wellspring, I don't give answers. All my job is to clearly illustrate to you what God says through his word, through his son, Jesus. And so what we're going to do is we're going to turn to a story in the life of Jesus that is a pretty cool story because his disciples come to him and they say, hey, Jesus, we notice you pray a lot. You're always talking to God. Hey, can you teach us how to pray? And Jesus does. He teaches them how to pray. And what he teaches them is something that we commonly call the Lord's Prayer. Now, I grew up in a Baptist church, as I said, and so in our Baptist church, in the middle of the service, there'd be a guy, it was a bald guy, actually, who would come out, and he would pray. He was for a while, and then we got a new guy. But this guy would come out. When he came out, you were like, set your watch, man. This is going to take forever. Because he would pray so long. I mean, I was like, it's like he was trying to impress God with his prayer. I swear, I think he had a stopwatch out there. Anyway, he would pray and pray and pray, but you had to pay attention because he would pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray, pray. And then at the end, he would wrap it up by saying, he would say, we've asked all these things in your name, praying, and that was the cue, and the entire congregation said the Lord's Prayer together because we were Baptists and we were weird. That's what we did. And so we all said the Lord's Prayer together. Now, I grew up also, I played sports in middle school and high school, public school stuff, but we would say the Lord's Prayer before we would go play sports. Don't tell anybody, we might get sued, but we did. And we kind of had a sports prayer cadence. So if you grew up playing sports and you said the Lord's Prayer, you probably learned it like this. Ooh, hands up in a circle. Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Kingdom come, we'll be done. Where is this heaven? You know, we say it real, like, boom. And then we said amen, and we went out and we lost the basketball game usually. But God clearly liked them better. But the Lord's Prayer, if you've been to a wedding, you've heard the Lord's Prayer sung, lots of people have heard this Lord's Prayer, right? What Jesus is about to teach us. So what I want to do today is I kind of want to break it down. Because within this prayer is the key to forgiveness on tap. And I know some of you say, whoa, 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 whoa. What does prayer have to do with forgiveness? What does prayer have to do with being free from guilt? And the answer is simple. Everything. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 11. If not, it's going to be up on the screen. Here's what Jesus says. Jesus said, this is how you should pray. Now, for those of you who follow Jesus, little tip. Whenever the Bible says Jesus said, and then he says, this is how you should, whatever comes next, you do. This is how you should, then you do it. Because he's Jesus, he's the king, and he's giving us the right order. So this is saying, this is how you should pray. He starts off this way. He says, Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. Now, this is interesting. This is good to note because what Jesus is saying here is he's saying, when you talk to God, call him Father. Call him Dad. See, what he's showing us is that our relationship with God is supposed to be intimate. It's supposed to be close. It's a loving relationship. But he also reminds us, he says, call him Dad, but then say, may your name be kept holy. He's reminding us, even though you're my dad, you're also perfect. You know everything. Now, let me just help you. When there's someone in your life who loves you completely and who also knows everything, you should do what they say. And I know you have many people in your life who think they know everything, but they don't. God does. He loves us completely. He knows everything. So that's why he says, may your kingdom come soon. May your will be done, is really what he's saying. So it's kind of a reminder. You're God, you're holy, you're perfect, you also love me completely. I should probably do what you want me to do with my life. That's kind of just a simple reminder. Then he says this. He says, give us each day the food we need. And this shows us a couple things. One, it shows it's okay to pray about food. It's okay to say, hey, God, I'm hungry. Can you hook me up? And he's saying, yeah, I will. I'll help you out. But the bigger thing is he's showing us that God cares about our daily needs, and he's also showing us that we're supposed to pray every day. Give us each day the food we need. So this prayer is supposed to be a common thing. In fact, if you read farther into the New Testament, guys like Paul talks about you should be praying all the time. You should pray without ceasing, which I've explained that before. That doesn't mean walk around with your eyes closed all the time because people would make fun of you. That'd be weird. And if you were driving, you'd get in wrecks. And some of you have Wellspring stickers on the back, and you would say, they told me to pray all the time, and it would just be bad. So don't do that. But give us each day the food we need, right? We're supposed to have a daily relationship with God. It's supposed to be important. And then he says this. He says, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation. So every day, we're supposed to pray to God, tell him we love him, that we're going to listen to him, ask him to take care of us, and to ask him to forgive us our sins. Now see, The reason we do that is because guilt is a byproduct of sin, right? Anytime we lie, cheat, steal, do anything to hurt people, those are sin. Those are things God does not want us to do. And we feel guilt because of those sins. Now, if you're here today and you don't believe in God, you obviously don't believe in sin. But you definitely believe in guilt. You know you have guilt. And so what I'm going to invite you to do today is just kind of lean in, because here's what I'm going to do. Even though you came in today not believing in God, right? I understand that. I love that. Wellspring is a place where people always bring their friends who don't believe in God. And we love that. But here's the crazy thing. Some people come in not believing in God, but they walk out having changed their mind. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be you. I know you're too smart for that. You're above that. You are here for the donuts and the music. I know. But I'm just going to invite you to listen today, because here's what I'm going to do. At the end of our time, if you came in not believing in God, I'm going to give you an opportunity to change your mind. And here's why I think you should change your mind. If guilt is a problem, Jesus is the solution. Let me say that again. If guilt is a problem in your life, Jesus is the solution to that problem. You will never solve your feelings of guilt independent of a relationship with Jesus. It will never happen. You may solve it for a day, but eternally, never. Because forgiveness on tap only comes from God. Now, I know you don't believe that yet. You're going to push back, and that's fine. But just, I hope you'll listen today, because I believe if you let him, God will change your mind today. Now, if you're here today and you do believe in God, the idea of every day asking Jesus to forgive us our sins kind of makes you feel sick inside, right? It's not something you want to do. It's like having to go to the principal every single day and get corrected for what you've done. Now, the reason you feel that way, it's okay, but the reason you feel that way is because you make an assumption about this verse and about our relationship with Jesus, right? You make an assumption that many, many, many Christians make, and it is a wrong assumption, right? You make the assumption that our relationship with God works basically like a credit card, right? And every day when we sin, every day as we make mistakes, we accrue more charges on our sin credit card, that we're constantly adding to this account of mistakes and regrets that we have to make. And then we have to take that card to Jesus, and we have to say, hey, I'm sorry for this and 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 this. And as we ask for those things, he then clears the cards, and we get our account back to zero before we begin the next day. Right? That's kind of how you think it works. And that makes sense, because that's how everything else works in life. If you do have a credit card, the more you charge on that credit card, the more you have to pay. If you offend other people in your life, if you call somebody by the wrong name, that's a little offensive. You can probably say, I'm sorry. If you forget their birthday, might be a little bigger offense. You might have to say a little more sorry. You drive into their house, that's a big offense. You're going to have to pay some money. You're going to have to pay up to make that okay. Right? And so that's kind of how you picture our relationship with God. And so for some of us, it's been a week since we prayed, or it's been 2 weeks, and our sins have started to mount. And so we think of this idea of, man, I have to go to God, I have to confess all these things so he'll forgive me, and it starts to weigh us down. Some of you, that's how you view Sundays, right? You carry the burdens of all your sin and all your mistakes every week, and you think you come here, and God somehow, okay, now that you came and did this for me, okay, I'll wipe this clean too, but don't do it again. That's kind of how we think, right? Here's the problem with that assumption. It's completely wrong. And not only is it wrong, it's dangerous. And not only is it dangerous, it has the power to destroy your life if you let it. Because it's not the way it works with God. And you're like, I'm not sure I believe that. And that's okay, you don't have to believe me. Let's look at what God says. In the book of Hebrews, which is a letter written by one of God's followers to the nation of Israel, that people who had become Christians, he kind of writes it to explain, okay, this is how this all works going forward. I want you to see what the writer of the book of Hebrews says about this very issue. All right, in Hebrews 10:10, look at this. It says, for God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. Now, let me explain what that means. Okay? Leave that up. God's will means God's plan. Remember this God guy who loves us completely, this God who's perfect. God's plan was for us to be made holy. That means completely clean, completely perfect. That means without sin. That means without blemish, without spot. That's the whole reason Jesus had to come, was because we made mistakes and we were sinners and our relationship with God was separated. The only way for us to have a relationship with God was for us to be clean and pure and holy like God is holy. So God's plan, God's will, was for us to be made holy. How? By the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ. You know that guy who came to earth, lived a perfect sinless life, was arrested on a Thursday night, was beaten all day Friday, then was nailed to a tree and he died. God's purpose through all that was to make us holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ. Let's all read it together. Once for all time. One more time. Once for all time. Once for all time. What that means is that when Jesus, almost 2,000 years ago, was nailed to that tree, was laboring for every breath, when he looked to heaven and took one big breath and said to his dad, "It is finished." And then he died. Do you know what was finished? The punishment and condemnation for your sin. So it also finished the guilt you should feel about the sin in your life. Because it was God's will. It was his plan for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. Not once until you get baptized and then you got to keep working it off. Not once until you pray the right prayer. Not once until you come to church enough. Not once until you give enough. Once for all time. Here's how the writer of Psalms describes it. He has removed our sin as far as the east is from the west. He hasn't moved it just off to the side to remind us it's there. He hasn't put it in a little corner so that we could be reminded about it in the future. He has removed it as far as the east is from the west. You know what that means, folks? That means it's gone. In God's eyes, once we begin a relationship with his son and we accept what he did on that cross, our sin is gone. Now, it does not mean you will not have earthly consequences for your sin. If you commit a crime, you go into jail. You are just a forgiven prisoner. If you say something incredibly stupid to your wife, you're going to have a consequence. God's up there saying, "I love you, buddy, but that was dumb. Wow, you're interesting." But do you hear me today? I need this to sink in. I need this to click with you. Because if it doesn't, nothing else matters. It's got to click. The second you begin your relationship with Jesus, the second you said, "Come into my life, lead my life. I believe you paid the price for my sin, and I want to live my life for you." The second that happened, in God's eyes, you became holy and perfect and blameless, and nothing you have done since then can change that. Because Jesus paid the price not only for every sin you've ever committed, but for every sin you ever will commit. Because God's will was for us to be made holy through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ once for all time. So that's why this myth of, "Well, I've committed more sin, I've built my account up, I got to go pay this off," is complete and total garbage. Because God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of his son Jesus Christ once for all time. So that brings us back to this prayer. So why does Jesus want us to pray about it? So why does Jesus want us to do like he says? He says, "And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us, and don't let us yield to temptation." If this is true, if it's all been forgiven, if it's all gone, if it's all wiped clean, why is Jesus saying, "I want you to talk to Dad about your sin every day. I want you to confess your sins to Dad every single day. Why is he doing that? Why is it important to do that if it's already been forgiven? Here's why. And folks, I'm telling you, this is the key to everything today. This is the truth that I hope is going to set you free. This is the thing that I hope you go home and think about for weeks. I hope this sets you on fire for God. I hope this sets you free from all the pain you're having. Here's why Jesus says, hey, every day, man, confess these sins. Here's why. God doesn't want to condemn us. He wants to remind us of his forgiveness. He doesn't want to condemn you. He doesn't want to yell at you. He wants to remind you. It's okay. You're forgiven. And the reason he wants to remind you is because he never wants you to forget how he feels about you. This prayer, this invitation is an affirmation of his forgiveness of you. And I know some of you, man, because you've read some of the Bible and you've read the Old Testament and you've seen what God's done to people when they sin. And you're saying, now, wait a minute, Trey, you're telling me God doesn't condemn sin? Really? Are you saying God doesn't condemn sin? Of course I'm not saying that. Of course God condemns sin. God hates sin. God is opposed to sin in every single way. Of course he condemns sin. But here's the thing. He's already condemned it. He did it 2,000 years ago on a cross when his son paid the price. So if he's already condemned it, what makes you think he wants to condemn it again? When his son looked to his dad and said, it is finished. He wants you to talk to him every day about your sin so that he can remind you every day that you're forgiven, so that he can remind you every day that he loves you, that he's crazy about you. You do the same thing with people in your life that you love. I fell in love with my wife when I was 22 years old. That has never changed. That was not the last time I told her that I loved her. How many of you have ever been or are in love right now? Men, just raise your hands. If you're married, raise your hand right now. Just don't look around. Don't ask. If you were grogging, just raise your hand. It's going to be okay, all right? Now, how often do you tell the person you love them? Probably more than once, right? Parents, how often do you tell your kids you love them? Probably more than once, right? We do it all the time, right? Now, why is that? It's because we never want them to doubt how we feel about them. Right? We never want our children to doubt that we love them and that we care about them. What if God, our Heavenly Father, wanted his Son to teach us how to pray in such a way that assured, on a daily basis, if not longer, we ran to Daddy and allowed him to tell us just how he felt about us so that we'd never doubt his love? You see, that's the dangerous part of this sin assumption. This assumption that we accrue more sin and we got to pay it off. See, Satan authored that. I know some of you guys don't believe in God, so you definitely don't believe in the devil. That's okay. He hates your guts and he wants to destroy you, so you should probably know about him. But here's what he does. See, he's the one who created this myth of that, yeah, you can become a Christian, but then every time when you sin, it kind of gets a little worse, and eventually you got to earn it back, and you got to ask for forgiveness again, and you got to clean that away, or you'll get too bad. See, that's what happens. If Satan can convince you that you can accrue more sin in an account, he can convince you that eventually you accrue so much sin that you can't pay it back. And that's his goal, to convince you that what you've done is so bad and is so awful and you are so far gone that the bill's too high and that Jesus could never accept you again and he could never take you back. See, I think many of you are sitting at the table And you imagine that there's going to be a check delivered. A bill for your life. And you're at a nice restaurant, so it actually comes in that little black book, you know? And you're sitting there, and the little black book's just been laid right in front of you. And you're terrified to open it because you know what's in there. You know the pain you've caused. You know the hurt. You know the stupid things you've done. My kids are here. They would say, "Daddy, stupid is not a nice word." And they're right. Shouldn't say stupid. You know the pain in there. You know the shame and the regret. And you don't want to open it because you are so terrified of the price you're going to have to pay. You know you can't afford it. You know there's no way you can ever settle up your debt. And your guilt is eating you alive. Hear me today. What Jesus is saying, he's saying open the book. Because when you open the book, you're going to see the price has already been paid. That's why he wants us to talk to God. That's why he wants us to bring our mistakes to God. Because, hear me, because confession opens the conversation with God. Confession doesn't open the door to condemnation. Confession opens the door to forgiveness. Forgiveness that was already there. Forgiveness on tap, freely available in unlimited supply. We just have to take it. We just have to accept it. So those of you today who are sitting here, you're afraid to open the book, open it. It's just going to say paid in full. Christians in the room today who are afraid to talk to God about your mistakes, confess. Because all he wants to do is to remind you, hey, you're loved. You're forgiven. And he wants to take that guilt that is inside you. And he wants to replace it with himself. See, that's a little dirty little secret about guilt. You can't remove guilt. You can't pull it out. Guilt has to be replaced. And I believe guilt should be replaced with God. Specifically today, his love and his forgiveness on tap. It works kind of like this. This is how most of us, or all of us, go through life. We sin, we make mistakes, we fall. And once sin's in there, man, it never comes out. And as you can see, it works its way into every single corner and crevice of our lives. Until eventually it's all we see. Some of you are here, this is all you see. You look in the mirror and all you see is your shame and your pain and your regrets and the ways you've dropped the ball over and over and over again. And because this is what you see, you're afraid to turn to God. Because all you think God's going to do with this is take one look at it and spit it out. Throw it. And so this is how you live. Because you believe the myth that you can sin too much, that you can go too far. Because you don't know the truth that God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of his son once for all time. See, it's already been paid. But we live this way. But what I'm trying to teach today and what Jesus was saying 2,000 years ago is that you don't have to. That you can, through a relationship with God, through a confession with him, you can remove the guilt from your life, not by anything you do, but by what God does. Because as you confess to God, as you open yourself up to him, he then begins to pour into your life. And see, what he pours is clean. And what he pours is pure. And what he pours is holy. And all he's doing is restoring you to the way he sees you. Because remember, his will was for you to be made holy by the sacrifice of his son once for all time. And so as you open yourself up to God, he begins to allow you to see you the way he sees you. And isn't that what every parent wants? Now, you say, but it's not done. But that's okay. Because we got an unlimited supply. It don't stop. And so we keep praying. And we keep allowing God to change us. And we keep allowing God to help us see ourselves the way He sees us. That's what I was just saying. Parents, isn't that what you want for your kids? Do you want your kids to see themselves the way others see them? The way their friends see them? Or do you want your kids to see themselves the way you see them? It's the way you see them, right? Because you see all their amazingness and specialness and you see what God can do. What if God's plan was for you to see yourself the way He sees you? And how does He see you? Well, it was His will to make you completely holy through the sacrifice of His Son once for all time. And so as you keep praying and you keep opening yourself up to God and you keep talking to Him and your relationship with Him grows, I hope you see what's happening here. He's removing the guilt by replacing it with Himself. And this is how you can live life. Every day when you sin and when you make mistakes, if you're open, if you're talking to God daily, He can keep pouring every single day. And then before you know it, you begin to see yourself the way God sees you. Holy. Clean. Blameless. Without spot. Not because of anything you've done. But because He loves you so much that it was His will for your life that almost 2,000 years ago on a cross on Calvary, His Son was going to pay the price so that you could be made holy. A price that was going to be paid once for all time. So my challenge today is very simple. If you are a Christ follower today, if you have a relationship with Jesus, and you are struggling with feelings of guilt and shame and you're afraid, do not any longer believe the myth that has been perpetrated against you. Your Father is not mad at you. He is not angry. This is how He sees you. And with everything in Him, He wants to pour into you for the rest of your life. So that you see yourself the way He sees you. Perfect. Pure. Holy. Free from guilt and shame and regret. And if you are here today and you walked in not believing in God, but you walked in feeling guilty, and you would like to walk out free from guilt, may I introduce you to Jesus. I invite everyone to bow their heads and close their eyes. And if you would like to experience the forgiveness Jesus offers, if you would like to experience the life He gives, simply pray this in your heart as I pray it out loud. Say, Jesus, I want You in my life. I want to experience the forgiveness You died to give me. I admit I've made mistakes. I believe You paid the price for those. And I commit my life to You. I believe You died. I believe You came back to life. And because of that, I believe I can too. Help me to see me the way You see me. And as I live that way, Father, may I walk in Your path for the rest of my life. I make You king and leader. Thank You for paying the price so I didn't have to. Teach me to walk in that forgiveness every day. Now, I want you to keep your heads bowed, but I want you to know if you prayed that prayer just now, and you began a relationship with Jesus Christ. You just crossed over from unforgiven to forgiven. You no longer have any sin in God's eyes, and you will spend eternity with Him. And now our job as His church is to walk with you for the rest of your life. So I'm going to ask you to do two things for me. In just a moment, I'm going to count to three. And if you prayed that prayer today for the first time, if you began a relationship with Jesus for the first time, I'm going to ask you to just raise your hand as high as you can so we can celebrate with you. Ready? One, two, three. Just go ahead and raise your hand. Raise them high. Amen. Now everybody look at me. For every hand that went up, here's my request. Take that same hand, reach under your chair, grab a connection card, fill it out, and let us know the decision you made today. You can drop it at the door on the way out. You can take it to the info center. Because it's now our job to walk with you for the rest of your life, to help you learn how to make sure you stay this way, to help you learn how to pray so that God can pour into you, to help you learn how to receive His grace and His love and His forgiveness every single day. Because you're not going to be perfect, folks. Nobody is. But it doesn't mean you can't feel that way. Because I don't want you to feel about yourselves the way you see you. I want you to feel about yourselves the way God sees you. And that's how God sees you. So if you pray that prayer today, please let us know. If you're here today and you have a relationship with God, but guilt is still something you struggle with, we're gonna close today with a prayer and then a song. And my hope is that as we pray and as we sing this song, that you will take an opportunity today to confess, that you will allow confession to open the conversation with God, and that you will lay it all out there. So that everything you lay out thinking, this is the one He's going to get me for. This is the one He's going to, this one's going to be too much. Every single one, He can say, I know, I know, I know, I know. Already paid for. Already paid for. Covered. Already paid for. Done. You're forgiven. I've removed that as far as the east is from the west. Come to me. Confession opens the conversation with God. Confession opens the door to forgiveness on tap. Forgiveness that is freely available in unlimited supply. Take it. Experience it. And live life free from that shame and regret and guilt that He never intended for you to feel. Let me pray for you. God, we just love You so much. Father, I thank You for Your Son. I thank You that You saw fit to make us holy through the sacrifice of Your Son once for all time. Father, may we never grow tired. May we never become used to the fact that Your Son paid the price for us, and that it is all because of Him that we can live the life You want us to live, a life free from guilt and shame and regret. Father, I pray for everyone in the room today who made the decision to follow You. Father, give them the courage to make that public so that Wellspring can come along beside them and walk with them for the rest of their life. Lord, I pray for every follower of Yours in this room today who has still allowed guilt to seep in, Father, who's allowed the idea to seep in that we can accrue so much sin that You'll never forgive us. God, I pray that we be reminded today You don't want to condemn us. You simply want to remind us of Your forgiveness. Father, may we run to You. May we open ourselves to You. May we lay it all on the table. May we confess to You. May our confession open the conversation for You to pour in and fill us with Your freely available, unlimited supply of forgiveness and grace and peace and love and mercy, Father. May we experience that today. May we never forget that your Son paid it all. We owe nothing. May we leave here with that truth embedded in our souls. It's in your Son's name we pray.
Thanks for joining us this week for the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit us at wellspringchurch.tv.